Okay. So, like, imagine this. You know, you've been saving up all these like rewards points for, I don't know, years, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's for like vacation or something. You really want that fancy thing. And then like suddenly the company just like ends the whole program. Poof.
Yeah.
All gone.
Yeah, that definitely raises some questions about, what companies can do with these loyalty programs. So today we're gonna deep dive into a case that deals with exactly this issue. It's Citeriol VRJ Reynolds Tobacco Company.
Camel Cash, right? You remember those C notes you'd get from buying camels? Well, turns out there's like a whole legal story behind it all.
Oh yeah, the Camel Cash program, it ran for quite a while actually, from 1991 to 2007. And smokers could use these C notes to get stuff from like catalog. I mean, it was everything, t-shirts, camping gear, all sorts of things. Seems pretty simple, right?
Yeah, totally.
But then in 2006, RJR, that's Camel's parent company, they announced they were going to end the program, give everyone 6 months to, use their C notes.
6 months, that sounds pretty fair, right? Like what's the problem?
Well, the lawsuit claims that RJR basically stopped people from like using their C notes right after they made the announcement.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So you can imagine like how frustrating that would be, right? If
Sure.
you'd been saving all those C notes.
Oh yeah, definitely. Especially for people saving for like the big stuff, All those years, poof, just like that.
Yeah, like your loyalty means nothing, basically.
Yeah.
So this case, it went all the way to the Ninth Circuit, right? And they actually brought back the breach of contract claim after it got like dismissed earlier. That's a big deal. So what happened?
Well, the Ninth Circuit's decision, it really came down to this idea of a unilateral contract.
Oh, okay.
So RJR, they were arguing that the Camel Cash catalogs, they were just advertisements, not like real offers. But the court, they didn't see it that way.
Okay. So I'm not a lawyer, so can you break down this whole this unilateral contract thing for me?
Sure, yeah. Think of it like those lost dog posters you see. The person who finds the dog, they don't like promise to look for it, they just do it. And if they find the dog, they get the reward. That's a unilateral contract. One side makes a promise, the other accepts by doing something specific.
Oh, okay. So like in this case, the smokers, they accepted RJR's offer by buying cigarettes
Yeah.
and saving up those C notes, and then RJR like had to, honor those C notes.
Yeah, that's how the court saw it. They pointed to California law that says reward programs, they can be seen as unilateral contracts as long as they have, clear requirements.
Okay,
But
got it.
RJR, they didn't stop there. They also said that the terms of the program, the Camel Cash program, they were just too vague to be enforced.
Yeah, I can kind of see their point, right? How do you like put a specific value on those C notes?
Exactly. But the court, they had an answer for that. They said that RJR, they had like internal values for the C notes, plus the catalogs. They showed, specific stuff with the prices and C notes right there. And of course, the plaintiffs, they were buying cigarettes and saving those C notes, so they clearly understood how the program worked.
Right.
Yeah.
So basically the court was saying like, look, RJR, you can't say it's all vague when you clearly had a system for it. But what I find interesting is that this wasn't the only legal idea they looked at.
Yeah, you're right. The Ninth Circuit, they also brought up this thing called promissory estoppel. It gets a little more
All
complicated.
right, hit me with the legal jargon.
All right, so promissory estoppel, it basically means that even if there's not like a formal contract, if one side makes a promise and the other side relies on it, and it hurts them if that promise is broken, well, that reliance, that can be a reason to sue.
Okay. I think I'm following. So, like in this case, the smokers, they could say they relied on that promise of the Camel Cash program, right? Like
Yeah.
maybe they bought more cigarettes than they normally would have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or maybe they waited to use their C notes because they thought the program would, just keep going.
Right.
So they believed RJR's promise and they acted based on that belief.
So we've got a breach of contract and promissory estoppel. Maybe. But what about like consumer protection laws? You'd think those would come into play when a company seems to be taking advantage of its customers like this.
Yeah, you'd think so, right? The plaintiffs actually they did try to use those laws, California's unfair competition law and the Consumer Legal Remedies Act, but those claims they got tossed out.
Why is that? This seems like, you know, like a classic case of unfair business practices.
Well, it all boiled down to, you know, proving reliance. But it had to be like a very specific kind of reliance.
Right.
To win with those laws, the plaintiffs had to show they relied specifically on that termination notice, not just on the program itself, you know, just existing.
Okay, I'm not sure I follow.
Okay, so like imagine the plaintiffs see that notice, the termination notice, and they like totally freak out, right? They rush to use all those C notes they saved up.
Right.
But they can't because RJR shut the whole thing down early. That kind of harm, the kind that comes directly from that notice, that's what those laws are supposed to, you know, protect against.
So they needed to prove that they would have used their C notes sooner.
Yeah.
if they knew about that deadline.
Yeah, exactly. But they didn't make that argument. Their argument was all about how they relied on the program for, you know, for years, not how that termination notice hurt them.
So their loyalty all those years, it kind of backfired on them in this specific legal argument.
Yeah, it's a subtle point, but it's really important legally. It shows how you have to be like really specific about the type of reliance in these cases.
Okay, so we've covered the claims, but what does this all like? What does it mean for, you know, lawyers and businesses?
Well, there are some good takeaways here. If I was, you know, if I was a defense lawyer for a company with one of these loyalty programs, I'd be looking at this case very closely. Make sure those program terms, they have like really clear expiration clauses and redemption limits, you know. Don't leave any room for things to be misinterpreted.
Okay, good advice. Oh. And what about from the, you know, the plaintiff side?
Well, for plaintiff's lawyers, it's all about proving specific demonstrable reliance. Like instead of just saying my client was in the program, they need to show like real harm, like, you know, a statement like my client bought like 10 extra packs of cigarettes every month just to get those C notes. That shows reliance and potential damages much more clearly.
Yeah, that makes sense. So basically good documentation is key for everyone.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Now imagine you're the judge hearing this case, right? What would you be looking for?
Well, this case, it really shows that at the motion to dismiss stage, judges have to take the plaintiff's claims as true. Definiteness, meaning, you know, how clear the terms are. That's a question of fact that often needs more information than you have at that early stage.
So this isn't like a guaranteed win for the plaintiffs just because the Ninth Circuit, you know, brought back that breach of contract claim.
No, not at all. This case, it's far from over. It's going back to the lower court, which means there could be discovery, you know, more legal arguments, even a trial.
Wow, this is starting to sound like a legal thriller. What are the biggest challenges for the plaintiffs as this case moves forward?
Well, proving damages is going to be huge. How do you like put a dollar amount on those C notes that weren't redeemed? The court suggested maybe using, you know, RJR's internal valuations or the catalog prices.
Right.
But that could get messy.
Yeah, I can imagine RJR arguing that those values don't really matter, or that the plaintiffs, you know, they wouldn't have actually used all those C notes anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And remember, they still have to prove they relied on RJR's promises and that it hurt them. Did they really buy more cigarettes than they would have otherwise? Can they like actually show how much, you know, how much they were harmed by the program ending?
It's a lot of what ifs and unknowns.
Yeah, that's how litigation works, right? Both sides, they present their case and the court decides.
Okay, so let's flip the script. What might RJR's defense look like?
Well, they could try to, you know, downplay the whole C-note thing, say they're just like a marketing gimmick with, you know, with no real value. They might also try to show that the program terms, they were always subject to change, and that people knew that from the start.
Kind of like those terms of service things we all click through without reading.
Exactly. Yeah. Another thing they might do is argue that the plaintiffs had like plenty of time to use their C notes before the deadline, and that it's their own fault if they didn't.
It's like a legal chess match.
Yeah.
Both sides making their moves.
Yeah.
So aside from all the, you know, the legal details, what's the big takeaway here?
Well, I think the main message is that promises, even the ones made in, you know, in a rewards program. They have legal weight. This case, it's a good reminder for businesses to be, you know, to be clear and upfront in their terms, and for consumers to understand their rights.
Yeah, and also shows how contract law and consumer protection law, they can like overlap in some interesting ways.
Oh, absolutely. The Soterial case, it gives us a really interesting look at how, you know, these transactions that seem so simple, they can turn into these big legal fights. And it makes you think about the future of these loyalty programs.
That's what I was just thinking about. These programs, they're like everywhere.
Yeah.
But are they risky for both, you know, for both companies and consumers? Yeah. I mean, they're like super popular, right? Think about it. Yeah. Airline miles, credit card points, those punch cards you get at coffee shops, they're everywhere. So
yeah.
are we all just setting ourselves up to get, you know, disappointed?
Well, it's definitely worth thinking about. On the one hand, these programs, they can be good for both sides. They keep customers coming back, and that means more sales for the companies.
Right, right.
But there's another side to it.
Yeah, like what's the catch?
Well, the Soterial case, it shows us that these programs, they can also, you know, they can create problems, legal problems. Companies, they got to be really careful about how they set up and run these programs if they don't want to end up, you know, in court.
So as consumers, we need to be more like aware.
Oh, for sure. Awareness is key. We need to like really understand the tactics they're using, the psychology behind it all, and make good decisions about whether these programs are actually, you know, good for us.
So how do we protect ourselves? Are we like stuck in this loyalty program trap?
Not necessarily. No. First thing, you know, read the fine print. I know, it's boring, but those terms and conditions, they actually matter. They tell you the rules, including, you know, what happens if they decide to end the program.
Right. Yeah. And what if we don't like agree with the terms?
Then don't sign up. It's simple, really. Support the companies that don't use these, you know, these kind of manipulative tactics. There are plenty of businesses out there that do things the right way.
Yeah, good point. It's a good reminder that we as consumers, we have more power than we think.
Exactly. Together, we can make a difference. You know, push for businesses to be more ethical and sustainable.
So this deep dive has been like really eye opening. We talked about all the legal stuff in Camel Cash case, but we also got into some bigger questions about, you know, consumerism, corporate responsibility, all that, and those power dynamics in these loyalty programs that seem so like harmless at first.
Yeah, it's been a great discussion. I hope everyone listening, walks away with a better understanding of this whole world of loyalty programs and a better awareness of their rights as consumers.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us on this journey. Remember, knowledge is power. The more we know, the better decisions we can make when we're, you know, out there navigating the marketplace.